The inspired writer said in Psalm 119, verse 104 and 105, "Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." While the following scripture study cannot be exhaustive, it is designed to provide insights toward a better understanding of God's word, awareness of ways that are false, and encouragement to study more so that you may live rightly in this world and live forever in heaven.
In Acts chapter 12, Herod, one of the despicable descendants of Herod the Great, and really a descendant of Esau, the profane one, imprisons Peter and James and has James put to death by the sword. Peter miraculously escapes, and you remember he comes to Mary's house, and a young damsel named Rhoda comes to the door, and they're so surprised he's there, they don't even let him in. And she goes back and says, "Peter's at the door," and they said, "No, perhaps it's his angel." But Peter had been spared. This Herod, who had oppressed and opposed God and his work, now goes down to Caesarea, and in great oration, arrayed in royal attire, sounds like the voice of an angel and not a man. But he was eaten of worms and died. And Josephus tells us it was the most shameful, painful death of the first century. But the word of God, which he opposed, grew and multiplied. In Acts 13, the first evangelistic tour begins, and Antioch of Syria becomes the great evangelistic congregation in sending Paul and Barnabas out to preach the word of God. They go to Antioch of Pisidia for a great sermon by Paul in the synagogue. And when he comes to the end of his sermon, he says, "Through Christ is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him you can be forgiven of all things you could not be justified from by the law of Moses." On that occasion, some counted themselves unworthy of eternal life and thrust the word of God from them and wanted to kill Paul. But the sincere and honest Gentiles said, "We'll come back here next week and hear this same sermon again." In Acts 14, Paul is nearly killed outside Lystra for preaching the gospel. And yet when he revives, he goes right back into the city to preach Christ some more. He really believed that God would protect him and be with him. Matthew 6:33, as he would seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then in Acts chapter 15, we have the famous discussion in Jerusalem concerning, what about the Gentiles? Can they come directly to the gospel, or do they have to pass through the channels of the law of Moses? Do they have to be Judaized before they can be Christianized? And you remember how that Peter made a great oration that day about the conversion of the Gentiles down in Caesarea. And he said, "God put no distinction between them and us." And James, the half-brother of the Lord, who was a leader of the congregation in Jerusalem, made a great speech in which he said, "We can't place any other burden on these men." And so the gospel freely for all men was the conclusion. At the end of Acts 15, Paul and Barnabas, though, had a sharp contention between them. Christians can disagree on matters of judgment without either one of them being wrong. It becomes wrong when we allow matters of judgment to dominate our thinking and divide the body of Christ. But though they disagreed on whether John Mark would go with them on the second journey or not, they didn't disagree over the progress of the gospel. Barnabas took John Mark with him, and Paul took Silas with him, and now instead of two men going to one area, four men go to two areas spreading the gospel of Christ. And when brethren disagree on matters of judgment, they ought to allow it to be a springboard for the growth of the kingdom instead of the stifling of the same. In Acts 16, the pace and tempo really pick up. It's really an interesting thing that the gospel goes to European soil for the first time. It goes to Philippi. Paul answers the Macedonian call. Being forbidden by the Holy Spirit to go into Bithynia or Asia, he goes quickly to Philippi and preaches the gospel on European soil. And Lydia, a seller of purple with her entourage, obeys the gospel of Christ, is baptized into Christ, and becomes the first fruits of the gospel on European soil. Paul casts the spirit of divination out of a young damsel who follows them around saying, "These men be the servants of the Most High God." Her incessant plea, known to be possessed of a devil, was not pleasing to Paul. It'd be like us allowing a brewery company to advertise services of the Church of the Lord. I don't want that kind of advertising. And the Lord didn't want the devil advertising his work either in the first century. So when the demon was cast out of this young lady, her owners, who had made money out of her soothsaying and magical arts, were dismayed and had Paul and Silas beaten and placed in the innermost prison. But at midnight they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And you remember how an earthquake came and loosed the bands and opened the doors of the prison. But none of them escaped. Paul was in charge. The jailer who was entrusted to the Roman government to keep all the prisoners safe or his own life would be taken just knew they would escape with this opportunity, and he pulled out a sword and was going to kill himself. Paul said, "Sir, do thyself no harm. We're all here." He said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And he was told to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and all his house, and he'd be saved. And so they spake the word of the Lord unto him, for how can he believe on whom he has never heard? And as he preached the word of God, this man washed their stripes, showing he had repented, a change of mind. And the same hour of the night, though it was past midnight, he was baptized, he and all his straightway. Somewhere between the jailhouse and his own house, he was baptized. Perhaps in the river where Lydia had been baptized. A few years ago, I saw a picture of that old prison, the remains of it, in Philippi. And the river runs right by the back door of that jail. You can just step out the back door into that river. But anyway, this shows the necessity and urgency of obeying the Lord. It was past midnight. He didn't say, "I believe I'll wait till Mother's Day or Sunday or the day we baptize people." He needed to obey the Lord right then. And though it was past midnight, an inconvenient time and situation, he obeyed his Lord and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. The next day, the authorities want to release Paul and Silas, and Paul said, "They put us in here unlawfully. They need to come down here and let us out themselves." He wanted it to be known that Christians were not in opposition to the government, and they'd done nothing wrong and broken no laws, so that when he left, these young Christians would not be persecuted unjustly.
The message which you have just heard was brought to you by the Church of Christ in Wayndale, 3421 Thurber Avenue, Fort Wayne, Indiana. A free Bible correspondence course designed for individual home study is also now available upon request.